let's go north next, where there have been 71 attacks or threats on journalists in the last 6 years, according to a report by Amnesty International. They include death, rape and bomb warnings, with women subjected to highly personal gendered threats that in some cases extend to their children. The report also said that many journalists no longer report threats due to time-consuming processes and lack of action or positive outcome. Alison Morris is with us. She's crime correspondent with the Belfast Telegraph. Alison, good morning.
Good morning.
You were interviewed as part of this report. What did you tell Amnesty about your experiences?
Well, I mean, I have always really done the sort of crime and security beat. I mean, I've been a journalist for over 20 years, but most of it's been spent covering that kind of those kind of stories. So there's always been a threat level that has been associated with my work. You do notice that it changes as time goes on. But I suppose 2024 is maybe one of the worst years. I think I had the police at my door maybe 8 or 9 times delivering paramilitary threats. And that's on top of, or threats from organised crime gangs. And that's on top of all of the online social media threats that you receive. And as you said, a lot of that is very gendered and very specifically tailored because I'm a woman doing what I suppose some people would perceive to be a very male job. And also then threats that you would receive out in the street when you're out doing your job. But I suppose they call PM1s, those threats that get delivered to you. I've had threats saying I'm going to be shot on my way to work. I have had police here at 2:30 in the morning looking under my car for a bomb. There was a pipe bomb in my street a couple of days after one of those threats. It was thrown from a car. So you do spend a lot of the time, I suppose, very aware of your security, especially when you're out and about, and there's places I probably wouldn't go because I know that there is a threat on me, and also because, let's face it, you know, Northern Ireland's quite a small place and you become fairly recognisable when you work in the media. So there's people who will see you, and I suppose the opportunist attacks are the things that maybe concern me most. Someone that just sees you on the spur of the moment and launches an attack. So that's something that you're constantly thinking about.
What do you do when you're threatened?
I don't do anything. I get up and go to work in the morning. I mean, I receive those threats and my boss would always say, you know, do you want to take some time off? But I'm of the opinion that if I take time off, then the people who are threatening me win. So I'm always very, very deliberately go back into work and make sure my byline's seen in the paper and online, because I don't want them to think that threats are going to deter me from staying away from my job. But I mean, I do live in a house with added security measures. I have bulletproof windows, I have bulletproof doors, I have an alarm system, I have lights, cameras, CCTV, the whole lot. You know, that my house is like a fortress.
Yeah, what do your grandchildren call the house?
They call it Castle Grayskull. because there's so much security around it. And that is something that you have to, you know, that I live with, but I know it isn't normal, but it's become so normal to me that it's only when I say it to someone who maybe doesn't work in our industry and see the absolute horror on their face that I realise I'm not living in a normal environment. But I mean, I suppose I always say I am not a victim. This is a job that I choose to do. I could go and do something else. I don't. I love my job. And the people who speak to me, and often I'm interviewing people who are living in places where they're still under the jackboot of paramilitaries and organised crime gangs, and they're the people who are the brave ones who are speaking to me. I get to go home to my fortified house at night, you know, whereas they have to stay in the area where they are. So I'm always very grateful to anyone who will speak to me. And even speaking in the Amnesty, I felt like a bit of a fraud. I think, you know, there's journalists dying around the world, there's journalists being targeted in Gaza, and I'm sitting here and I don't want to come across like I'm whinging or being a victim, because I certainly don't feel sorry for myself. This is something that I have made a conscious decision to do for a living. And I understand that with that comes a level of threat, but the threat that we receive here in Northern Ireland, in comparison to what other journalists would receive either in the south or across the water, it's very different, because we do still have those lingering paramilitary groups, and we do know that those people are heavily armed and could cause you significant harm if they wanted to.
I know that living with this has become your reality, but it must make you scared or overcautious at times.
There are places that I wouldn't go, and I did tell Amnesty. There was one time I had my granddaughter in a McDonald's, and I could see these men who recognised me, and one of them walked outside and started speaking on his phone, and I assumed that they were phoning someone to say where I was, and I had to leave pretty sharpish, more out of concern for her than for myself. But I mean, there was one day, I mean, I did tell Amnesty this, and it does. I was outside and get into the car And you know, when you get into your car and you're plugging in your phone and you're doing all your things, and I could see in my wing mirror a man approaching very fast on that side with a scarf around his face, and I started screaming because I thought he was coming to shoot me. I honestly felt my life flash in front of my eyes, and it was the Amazon delivery driver who was bemused as to why I was screaming because I could see him coming. I said, "I thought you were going to shoot me," and he says, "Why did I shoot you?" And I was like, "It's a long story. Just give me my package. Let's move on with our lives." But so I remember thinking that day, even though I keep saying this doesn't annoy me and I'm fine and I'm not scared and I'm grand, subconsciously, clearly there is something inside me which believes I'm not going to die of natural causes or an old lady in my bed, that someone's going to target me at some stage.
Alison, mind yourself. Thanks very much for speaking to us this morning. That's Alison Morris, crime correspondent with the Belfast Telegraph. It's 7:45.